Today's scripture is going to be from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, rather to trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on to eternal life.
I forgot my lapel microphone, so I'm going to be tying myself to this microphone during the service today. I hope I do not drift too far from it. Well, since Thanksgiving was just a couple of days ago, since Keith mentioned it in his prayer very graciously, since the reading that Ben made talked about giving thanks, and since this is the first Sunday afterwards, I don't think it's hard for you to determine what I'm going to preach about today. We're going to be talking about gratitude, expressing our gratitude, and more specifically this year, expressing our gratitude toward each other, giving thanks. Now, I've chosen as a text a passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is known as a wonderful chapter. It's also known because it has some short, piercing statements that Paul makes by inspiration. Now, Thessalonica in today's society is known as Macedonia. It's in the northern part of Greece. Even today, if you look at a map, you'll see that area called Macedonia. But Macedonia in Paul's day was a Roman province, a Roman protectorate, or a Roman city. And so when Paul was writing to them, he was writing to a city who had the influence of Rome, but he's writing to Christians. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I begin reading with verse 15. Paul says, make sure that you render evil to no one. Not evil for evil, not evil for good. I'm paraphrasing a bit. Always follow that which is good among yourselves and also among all men. And then these little sayings, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything, here's my real text, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What I want to do is, for just a little while this morning, I want to concentrate on that phrase from verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Now, when I prepare a lesson, I do like to look at various translations and versions. I try to preach always from the King James or the New King James, but I found in this particular case that the King James is just about the only one that doesn't use the word circumstance. The King James says, in everything give thanks. Almost every other translation I found says something like this, give thanks in all circumstances. And rather than we try to be honest with each other, we understand that sometimes in our government, for instance, there are circumstances, there are things that are out of our control that bother us greatly. Sometimes in our own life, there are circumstances that bother us greatly. Brethren, sometimes even in the congregation, there are things, there are circumstances that bother us greatly. Some of these things are good, some of these things are not good. In fact, some of these things, the circumstances are just bad. But Paul is saying here, even in those bad times, even when the circumstances are bad, whether you're talking about the congregation or in our family, in our nation, whatever the case may be, even when the circumstances are bad, you need to find something for which to give thanks. In other words, we always need to be looking for opportunity to give thanks. Heard a story one time about a terrible snowstorm somewhere in the north. And it was so bad that it completely shut down this town for 3 days. You couldn't get out of your driveway because of the snow. You couldn't even get out of your house, couldn't drive down the road for 3 solid days. Well, the day that you could get out, the one neighbor got out early and he cleared his driveway so that he could try to make it to the office. And as he was backing out, he noticed his neighbor. Well, actually, it was his neighbor's wife who was out clearing the snow off of the driveway. And he stopped and rolled down the window and he said, "Can I help you?" She said, "No, I can get it." He said, "Well, where's your husband? Why is your husband not out here helping you clear this snow?" She said, "Well, as you know, we've had 3 days of snow. We've been stuck in the house for 3 days. We've got 3 kids, so we drew straws to see who would shovel the snow." And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry that you lost." She said, "Oh, no, after 3 days in the house with the kids, I'm the one that won." Brother, we need to find opportunities. We need to look for opportunities to voice our gratitude. Certainly our gratitude toward God, but even our gratitude toward each other. Giving thanks under all circumstances. That's very similar, at least to my ear, to what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. You remember he was talking about preaching the gospel in season, out of season. We're to preach the gospel in season, out of season. Here, the same penman that God used is saying we need to give thanks at all times, under any circumstance, whether the circumstance is good or bad. We need to be looking for opportunity to give thanks. Now, my lesson today is very straightforward. It's very simple. I don't think there's anything I might say in which you will not agree. But we're still going to base it with Scripture. Here are my 3 simple points. First of all, brethren, you and I have it so good. We have it so good. Point number 2, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the blessings that we have. But point number 3 is where we'll begin to draw our conclusion. We've got it so good. There's nothing wrong with enjoying what we have. But too many times we just take it for granted. We just do not express our gratitude to God. First of all, we have it so good. I hope no one is offended by this illustration. It's the truth. When I was growing up, I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, Shannon. That would be my mother's mother. They lived down the Corpus Christi Highway just a ways. I spent a lot of time out there. I loved it. Well, I don't remember how old I was when they built their new house. But I'm old enough, I was old enough to remember the old house. I can remember when the bathroom was the 3rd tree on the right. Now, brethren, those of you who will admit that you, like I, am getting older, what do we have now that we didn't have then? A lot. What conveniences do we have now? What things make our life easier now than we didn't have then? A lot. When we were growing up, we had less than we have now. We were just as happy, maybe happier, but we had less than we have now. I want to give you a little test. This is going to be the dividing line whether you are a young person or not a young person. I bet some in here don't even know and have never even seen a payphone. I remember Linda telling me when her oldest was very young and they were staying somewhere and he was going to call someone and he picked the phone up and he said, "Where are the buttons?" It was a rotary phone. I remember visiting my aunt down in Seadrift and you would pull the earpiece off and crank the operator. I'll bet you a lot of people have never even seen that. Our first television was black and white. Yes, they made black and white television. The screen was round and about that big. Our kids have, well, we all have it better now than we did then. I don't even remember the last time I saw a record player. And people don't even know what you're talking about when you say, yeah, we used to spend 45s. Or 33 and a third, and maybe some my age will remember 78 RPM records. What even is a record? I even had an 8-track player in my car. And I went to a drive-in movie. And I enjoyed life so very, very much. My favorite game was called pinball. I've not even seen a pinball machine. We have gone a long way. Maybe we've gone too far in a lot of areas. Maybe we're going too far in other areas. But brethren, for the conveniences that we have, for the enjoyment of life that we share, we need to be thankful. We need to thank God under all circumstances. And if you only remember one thing that I say in this sermon, let it be this. Our worst day is better than some people's best day. I want to paraphrase the passage that Ben read just a moment ago. Paul was writing to people like us. They were comfortable. They had everything they had to have, most of the things they even wanted. And he said, now remember, you've got all of these things. Don't allow those things to cause you to be haughty or arrogant or conceited. Remember where those things come from. The things of life are so uncertain, but not the things of God. He says, put your hope, put your trust in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Brethren, we've got it so good, we need to be thankful. Quite a few years ago now, I held a gospel meeting in Rio Grande City, right on the Texas-Mexico border. I don't know if it's that way now, but at that time they had a walking bridge from the Mexican side to the American side, and people could walk across that bridge. They would search your belongings coming and going, but you could walk across. So I made arrangements with the gospel preacher down there. I sent him my sermon ahead of time, and he interpreted. I wanted to send it ahead of time to make sure he interpreted exactly what I said. And we had members and visitors from both sides of the border come to that gospel meeting. Had several baptisms. I'm happy about that. But on one particular day, we decided we were going to go and eat cabrito. So we went to Roma. I think the little town across from Roma was Ciudad Alemán. And we ordered cabrito. Now the preacher told us, don't drink the water. Don't even pour your soda water over ice. Just drink it right out of the bottle. While we were waiting for our meal, a little boy, I bet he wasn't 7 or 8 years old, came in and he wanted to shine people's shoes. You know, we'd never see that in a restaurant today. He wanted to shine people's shoes. Well, I felt sorry for the young man, and so I said, yes, I would like for you to shine my shoes. So right there at the table, he shined my shoes. When he was through, I pulled out my wallet and I asked the preacher, I said, can I give him this $5 bill? He said, oh, no. He said, give him a dime. You give him a $5 bill, he's going to think he's rich. He'll never go back to school. It was just $5. To him, it was so much more than that. Brethren, we have it so good. And we need to enjoy it. God gave us this beautiful planet. I don't want to get into how we're destroying it. He gave us this beautiful planet with beautiful sunrises and beautiful sunsets and beautiful flowers and beautiful clouds in the sky because he wants us to enjoy it. But he wants us to remember where it came from, but he wants us to enjoy it. But Paul says, don't put your trust in uncertain things. Put your hope and your trust in God, who gives us these things to enjoy. If you've known me long, and most of you have, I have this thing about cars. I just love cars. I've always tried to have a nice car. I want a car that's a little bit different than everybody else. My first car was a Corvair. Never even heard of it, some of you. Chevrolet Corvair, engine in the back. But anyway, my second car was a brand new Firebird 400 by Pontiac. Fire engine red, 300 cubic inch. And I want to tell you something. I loved that car. I'm not teasing at all. I wash that car every day, just about. I wax that car every week. Now, you might be saying, that's a little much for a car. And today, I agree with you, but I didn't back then. I loved that car. I enjoyed that car. I wish I had that car back. But you know where that car probably is today? In a junkyard somewhere. Rusted down. Or maybe they've crushed it and turned it into a sardine can or something. I don't know. Paul says, don't trust in uncertain things. Now, Jesus called them things. Don't worry about things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about things. We need to enjoy things, but we need to remember where they came from. The things can't be our main focus. It's good to receive a gift, but we need to remember the giver of that gift. Rather than everything we have, from the air we breathe, the water we drink, to the nice things in our life, we need to not focus on those things. We need to focus on who has given us those things. It's not the gift, it's who gave us that gift, and it is God. And so I think we agree, we all have it good. And I think we agree we can enjoy the things that we have. But I also think you will agree too many times we forget about the giver of the gift. Once upon a time, there was a little boy. He was invited by his friend to come over for dinner. When they sat down at the table, immediately the people in the family started filling their plate. He was not used to that, and so he asked his little friend, he said, don't you say a prayer before you eat? And his father, the little boy's friend's father, chirped in saying, oh, we don't take time for prayer. And the little boy whispered under his breath, that's just like my dog, just digs right in. Brethren, we need to thank God for things. We need to show our gratitude. We have meals to eat. We don't wear worn out clothes unless we want to. You know, that's the style sometimes. We have automobiles to transport us. And if we don't have an automobile, we have friends that take us and bring us where we need to go. We have a roof over our head. Every one of us does. We need to never take those for granted. Very interesting passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm just going to allude to it. Paul is talking about the last days. He said perilous times are going to come in the last days. And he starts enumerating a list of what men are going to be like in the last days. He said they will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money and boasters and proud and disrespecters of parents. And then the last two, and I've often wondered if these two were just back to back by accident or if it was deliberate, the last two, unholy and unthankful. Brethren, may we never be guilty of the sin of ingratitude. Now, there's so many little things in our life, they add up to big things. We need to be thankful under all circumstances. You know, when someone is nice to us, we want to reciprocate. Maybe we send them a text. Maybe we send them an email. Not many people send cards, but some of you even send a thank you card. Maybe we want to buy them a little gift or something like that. But brethren, the giver of gifts far and away outshines any physical gift that you and I might give, might receive. He gave us the best gift. He gave us salvation through His Son, the greatest gift of all. So we've got it so good. We need to enjoy what we have, but we must never forget the giver of the gifts. Back in the 40s, and I've tried to do research, I cannot find a definitive answer. Either Bing Crosby or Irving Berlin, or maybe they wrote it together, wrote a song. The title of the song is "Count Your Blessings Instead of Sheep." The first verse goes, "When I'm worried and cannot sleep, I count my blessings instead of sheep, and I fall asleep counting my blessings." The last verse says, "When my bankroll is small, I think of when I had none at all, and I fall asleep counting my blessings." We would sing it this way: "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done." Now, we mentioned salvation through the sacrifice of Jesus, but Jesus invites everyone to take advantage of His sacrifice. We call it the invitation. Really, I think we base it on His statement of Matthew 11, 28 through 30. "Come unto me," Jesus says, "all ye that are weary and heavy laden." Jesus will give us rest. So what do we need? If we need to be added to the Lord's church in baptism, if we need forgiveness of our sins, then we need to take advantage of Jesus' invitation. If we have another need, we need to take advantage of Jesus' invitation, and that's what we will do now. We're going to sing number 851. If you need to respond, won't you come as we stand and sing this song?